Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and I am joined today with a very, very special guest. I'm so excited you're on the podcast, Cammy. Welcome. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, I'm doing good. It's a little gloomy in New York today, so just trying to like stay positive even though the sun's not out, but
I feel that. I'm in Dallas, so I feel bad because we
finally... Oh, you always have sun.
So I mean I won't comment on the weather here, but I'm proud of you for staying strong.
It's yes. I guess to jump right into it, I love to start with a little reflection moment with all of my guests called Rosebud Thorn. So Rose being something positive happening in your life right now, bud being something you're looking forward to, or it could be even something you're growing or learning through, and then a thorn is something maybe more challenging.
So for me, my rose right now would probably be my relationship with my partner, but also I would say with myself and with my friends. It's kind of a broader rose right now.
Okay.
But we've been dating, we'll be dating for 3 years coming up. And
oh my gosh, congrats.
Thank you. I feel really like beautiful, secure, confident, and like excited about my relationship right now. I always have been. Like, I'm dating like the most wonderful, incredible man, but there's been like a shift here. And I feel like, yeah, it's just progressing in a way that's really beautiful and exciting. So I would say that right now, I feel like we're like in a little bit of like a love bubble again. So that's been really amazing. And I just feel really connected to him and our future. So that's my rose.
That's so wonderful. I love hearing that.
Yeah, I'm like getting on talking about it.
No, it's good. I think it's good to just notice those reflections, because I've also been in a relationship now for almost 5 years. And it's like you have those ebbs and flows. There's going to be periods where, you know, maybe the connection isn't so strong. You're just sort of not seeing eye to eye on things. But then, you know, inevitably it comes around and you work through it and that connection is so much stronger. So it's wonderful and just so special to like recognize that and be so present in those phases of the relationship.
Yeah. And I didn't know that you've been dating someone for 5 years. Like, that is such an accomplishment, like in and of itself, of just like, you know, a relationship is voluntary. So the fact that you guys have decided to do that together, to grow together, to work through certain things, because there's inevitably things that need to be worked through, especially in your 20s too, when you're growing and you're changing. So that's so awesome. I'm so sorry. I did not know that.
No, like, don't apologize. You're like, good.
I need to ask you for some advice. Like,
oh my gosh, no. I just figured I would say that too, because I can understand and relate.
Yeah. No, I'm like, after this, off the record, I'm like, we've got to talk about relationships.
Maybe episode two.
Maybe episode two. But I feel like that's been blooming, and so that's exciting. And then for my bud is, I feel like this year is like, the year of like so many things changing, and I know that they're coming. We're not exactly at those moments, those inflection points in which, you know, the changes occurred or we're on the other side, but I might be moving, I might be purchasing like a condo or a home or something, I might be progressing my relationship, my job seems to be kind of changing in a way. So I think my bud is like, I'm really excited to see maybe what the next 6 months hold or even change. And I'm excited just for this new fresh season. I feel like cyclically, like every 4 years, like maybe it's because we're used to being in school for 4 years at a time. I feel like there's a huge kind of life shift, and I think I'm up for one. And so I kind of sense that, and it's an exciting change. So I'm looking forward to that. I know that was super like vague and opaque, but that is like,
oh, it's great. Yeah.
And then for my thorn, similarly, as I was talking about this season of change, I think I'm really being asked to surrender. Usually I'm someone that thinks in order for something to kind of occur, you really have to take some type of action of some sort. Sometimes rest is the action, sometimes something more progressive is the action. And right now it's not necessarily as asking me to rest, but it's asking me to sit, observe, and kind of keep doing what I'm doing. And so that like ask of surrendering is a challenge for me right now, because I don't exactly know how things are going to play out. And in some cases, I see my friends or my colleagues or even my boyfriend progressing in different areas of their life, and it seems like they're hitting a stride. And I know that I'm in a stride right now, but it just looks a little bit different. So I think that's been challenging to remind myself that I'm guided, I'm protected, like everything is working out in my favor, and I don't always have to be the one doing something, right? Like there could be a job that's opening up for me, but someone else is doing that work right now, or another opportunity or something like that. So that ask to surrender right now is a little bit challenging, and I have to remind myself literally every day, every week, but I think it's something that I think is going to end up being really good for me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love how you worded that and spoke on it, because I think
Thank
those
you.
moments of, like you said, it's not rest and it's not necessarily giving up and it's not kind of holding yourself back, but it's
Yeah.
recognizing, like, I need to slow down right now. I need to just let things pan out and kind of loosen the grip on maybe the control that you
Yes.
want to have. I
Loosen the
know.
grip.
Yeah.
It's so funny. We think we actually are in control when we probably are like only aware of like 3% of what's going on. Like my reality looks so different from your reality, even though we're both on this conversation. And we obviously don't know all the things playing around in the background. So when we grip so tightly onto like our little 3% of information, it's like silly in the moment. It doesn't feel silly. It feels
Yeah.
super annoying. But when you like have a little bit more perspective, it's like, girl, like what were you doing? Just
Yep.
relax a little bit. So that was a great way
Yeah.
of putting it, I think.
Yeah. And I feel like also gripping so tightly, it closes you off to like seeing what's outside and what's going on around you. I know that's happened to me coming out of moments, maybe, me too, having moments and of realizing I need to surrender more and let go and sit back a little bit. I'm able to then like see the whole picture and I'm like, oh, this isn't actually like as bad as I thought, or what my anxious brain was telling me just like isn't true,
You were saying
Yeah.
so many things that I need to hear. This feels like group therapy. I'm
Oh,
like, oh,
good. Me too.
I'm only like 2 minutes in, but I'm like, the way that you phrase things resonates so heavily. And I feel like I really needed to have this conversation at this stage of my life, but also like just this weekend, everything timing was perfect. So
That's
thank you
wonderful
for
to
the time.
hear.
I really am like, I'm so excited.
Me too. I mean, already how you started, I'm feeling exactly the same way. So I'm so glad we
Thank
are
you.
here together. Well, shall I dive into my rosebud thorn?
Please, yeah. How's everything?
My rose, I feel like mine aren't as like kind of big picture. They're kind of smaller, just like specific moments. Rose, last night I went to a sound bath yoga class for the first time. I
Wow.
don't know if you've ever been in a sound bath before.
I don't think I've done that. I've heard of those, but I've like never, ever
It was
participated.
like the most like I don't know. I literally felt high. Like I was like, this is insane. Like just the I could feel the sound like moving in my brain, and I was just like you're just laying on a yoga mat like in Shavasana and listening to these sounds. And I think, I mean, I assume this was like an electronically played one, but it's like those circular instruments. Yeah, what are they called?
I think they're sound bowls.
Yeah, it was just like so mesmerizing, and I was just so at peace and like so present. Like I don't know, my brain runs at a million miles an hour, and it was just so nice to notice, like, wow, I haven't thought about like anything else other than how I feel in this moment on this mat with listening to this sound. So if I can go to another sound bath, I will find one for myself, because
Sure.
it was just, yeah, it was just like transformative. And I feel like I came back home and I was like, oh my God, like everything just feels zen and feels fine and feels calm. And
You absolutely have to go back. What
yeah.
was it? Was it through like an event or was it like just a place you signed up for?
It was through an event, a brand, Marlowe, actually. They're like a women's health, women's hormonal health
Oh, nice.
company based in Canada, but they're trying to move more into New York City.
Nice.
Met the founders. They're wonderful women, just trying to, help out other women who struggle with strong like PMS symptoms and PCOS and other hormonal things, making like products and tampons and pads that like don't irritate the skin, or if yeah, just they're organic, they're natural. It's just like not putting these sort of toxins in your body. So I just loved the mission. And then they had us go to this restorative yoga class at Humming Puppy. It's like in Midtown or something. And they had this whole sound bath, like the room was dark and there was like candles, and I was just like, this is what I needed right now. Like that's my Friday night, that's how I'd be spent.
Even the fact that they did it on a Friday, they did it at night. Like, I love when events are intentional like that, and you actually walk away You obviously love the mission, but now it's like stayed with you and like it actually infected other parts of your life. That's so
Exactly.
awesome. You have to go back.
Yeah, I will definitely look for one if I can find one. And then my bud, I recently got an IKEA delivery. This is so like surface level, but
No, I love a
yeah.
deal.
I've been in my apartment now just about a year, and I feel like I enjoy the space, and I've definitely made it feel like home, but there's just some like organizational things that I just kind of choose to not acknowledge, and I'm just like, this is messy, but like I'll deal with it later. And now I'm like, okay, when am I actually gonna like organize this properly? I live in a studio as well, so there just isn't a lot of like closet space. And so I got a big like wardrobe dresser thing, and I'm like, now I can
Oh.
just organize it, shut the doors, and it'll look nice. So
It'd be so good. I feel like when you get an IKEA delivery, it's actually just opened the doors for what's to come. You know, like when you put it together, it's like it positively affects your space. That's going to make such a big difference. Especially in a studio, you have to be really intentional with the space that you use.
Definitely. And then my thorn, I have been struggling recently to like stop myself from working. I feel like late in the night. I don't know if you've related to this, but
Oh,
I
yeah.
naturally am a night owl, and so I think like productivity-wise, I do my best work like later in the evening, but I think just giving myself that hard cutoff time. So it's just like I then, you know, the sound bath last night was such a needed separation from how my evenings usually go, which is just like working right up until I go to sleep or editing or, you know, doing something
That's so
on my
fun.
computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something that hasn't been making me feel that good, but I just haven't really been taking intentional steps to change it. So I'm just trying to be aware of it, and like we were talking about before, not judging myself for it, just sort of staying open and curious, like why is this difficult for me to change right now, and kind of approaching myself with that compassion rather than like shame and judgment has been helping. So
Yeah, I do feel like this world is like not built for night owls, and you guys get punished for your natural like rhythm because we ask you to be on point or be at work like early in the morning. But do you feel like you at least have self-care for yourself in other times that allows for you to work at night, or do you feel like the work is kind of constant and you're working on getting that self-care in at any time?
I love that you said that. I feel like no one said that before, but because I feel like I do like struggle to fit in the self-care. So I think that's something I'm definitely working on, because I feel like I'm not productive enough if I don't start my work at 9 a.m. like the societal usual. But I can't be productive until about 2 p.m. really. Like I can sit on my computer at 9, but I'm really not doing anything, getting into my deep work till about 2, 3 p.m. And then I'll work till like 8 or 9 or something. So I feel like, and I work from home, so I definitely recognize that I do have the ability to make my schedule. And I think for the last year, I've just been trying to force the 9 to 5 schedule into myself. But now I'm like, well, no one's really like making me start at 9 unless I have a call or something, of course, like a scheduled something I need to meet. But I've just been finding like really prioritizing my self-care in the mornings, because I know that's not when I'm gonna get a lot of editing done and a lot of computer work done or a lot of, you know, my day job work done. So if I use that time to self-care, take care of myself, go to the gym, go on a walk, see a friend for coffee, and then I can
Take
dive in.
you in. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like I'm still at war sometimes with myself. Just like, why can't you be a morning person? But, you know, that's not helping anything.
I don't think you should be made to feel that way. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with your flow starting at 2 p.m. I personally find the afternoon to be lovely. So it's like, why don't we celebrate that and actually just encourage people to work in their, what me and my friend Elena call our power hours, which is when you feel the best naturally. And it can look different in different seasons, but your power hours are like, that's your superpower. So why should you be punished for trying to utilize that time? And in your non-power hours, you should be able to like play, regardless of what that means to you. Maybe that's recreation or maybe that's relaxation. But I challenge you to, I guess, like, you know, it's hard when you work for someone else. Normally they're asking for your 9 to 5 hours, but sometimes they can be flexible. Like, I've even asked my boss, like, hey, do you mind if I come in a little bit earlier? I tend to work until like 6 or 7. And a lot of the times my managers are fine with that. Like, I don't think a lot of people even want to meet at 9 a.m. in the morning. Some people do, some people don't.
Right. Do you find that you work your power hours more? I also love that term. That's really cool. Do you find it's earlier in the day or you're similar, like you work better in the afternoons and evenings?
Well, before I go on, I want to say my friend Elena actually coined power hours, so I do want to
Okay.
give her flowers
Cute.
there. And I think it's the best term. I find that, again, sometimes it shifts for me, but I actually find that the morning works best for me because no one has gotten to me. Like, my cup is the most full at that stage. So I tend to do a little bit better work, but not like immediately when I wake up. I kind of want to have like a chance to be a human. So I would say like my power hours feel like maybe like 10 to 3 or 10 to 4. And then I find that if I leave my screen for a little while, which is something I've been trying to implement, that at 5:30 Central Time, which for me, I work until 6:30 Eastern, I take a 2 hour break. And then I can come back on if I have more work to do, or if I feel like working on a passion project. My friend Avra actually coined a term called passion fruit. So we meet every week for like a day after work, and we work on our passions. And so it like helps you kind of contribute to the fruits of your passions. So I have very awesome friends who are very smart. I find that it changes kind of like season to season.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think winter for me, just I think nature of the four
Winter.
seasons in New York City as well, it gets darker earlier. And I just kind of, I don't know, I tend to want to be outside more of the day and being a human, like you said, and finding that time to play. Because the day ends, the daylight ends at like 4:30, 5 p.m. So I might as well, that's when I then tend to work and, feel more cozy, put a candle on, get my work done.
Seems more intuitive too. I have a very big problem with our society making us do the new year in the dead of winter. Like,
I
when
know.
everything is dying and hibernating, we're like, be the most productive you can ever be, set all these goals. Like, really, spring is the time in which we probably feel a little bit of a different energy. Like, we're totally not in line with the season. And I actually think your routine makes the most sense, especially in the winter. And it can be so hard in New York in the winter. So I'm like giving you a virtual hug throughout the screen because I remember how I felt in New York in the winter, especially if you do work from home, you don't really get a chance to get outside.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate
Of
you sort
course.
of giving space to the different waves of productivity in different humans.
Yeah,
Because like you
it's
said, we're
true.
all different and we all have different power hours and what and we need time. What is it? Passion fruits as well. What was the other one?
It's when you just set aside like an hour or two every week to work on only on your passions. So I think the idea is that eventually the fruits of your labor will come to fruition if you just spend a little bit of time dedicated to it without having to be like, I'm going to do this every single day, just like planting a little seed every week type of thing.
Oh, I love that. I really resonate with that.
Oh, I'm like, my friends are the best. Like, again, my rose being like my relationships in general. I just feel like even, my relationship with you, having someone that like energetically expands you is so important, especially in different seasons. So I'm excited for spring to crawl its way back to New York. I feel like spring kind of starts a little late there sometimes, so.
Yeah, it's definitely on its way, which I'm so excited about. And so,
Okay, good.
that energizing feeling is coming back. It definitely is on
Good.
its way. Have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, P-I-P-O-D, for 15% off today. Well, moving on, is there anything else that you want to let the listeners know about yourself? If not, we can dive more into my questions.
I can maybe be short. My name is Cammie. Everyone calls me Cammie. My full name is Camelia. I do kind of wellness, optimization, productivity, content in my free time. I would say the other portion of my time is working full-time for a startup. I lead our operations for an app called Lolly. We do crypto rewards. So if you've ever shopped at Honey or Rakuten and gotten cash back on your shopping, we do the same thing. We give cash back and free Bitcoin back. So I'm kind of in that intersection of tech for majority of my day. And then me and my friend Elena, who termed Power Hours, have started a company called 5 to 9, which was made to be kind of a collective encouraging women to work on their real passions and like dreams, building your dream life, and hoping you can kind of build that in your off hours of the hours of 5 to 9. And eventually that will become, you know, your 9 to 5. And that has changed a little bit itself, but that's kind of the three things that I do. So content, working in tech, and then wanting to just expand working with women because they're the best and I love them. And I want everyone to feel comfortable and confident in themselves. That's definitely how I want to feel. And I definitely think like the main two things in life are purpose and connection. And I think if you can work around those things or work towards those things for yourself, you will eventually have like a really happy life. So that's a little bit of my ethos. That's a little bit of my background and what I do. But yeah, we can get into the question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you kind of touched on the next question I had, which is like sharing about the things you've been working on. And I definitely relate to that. I feel like I also kind of wear three different hats. Creator, yes. I work in tech as well, but in the marketing department for a startup, and graphic design freelance as well. So having those three hats is definitely hard to balance at times. But I'd love to hear a little bit more about how you do work to find that balance. And, you know, I know it's probably not perfect every day. It isn't for me for sure. But if there are a few things that you found that help you in your routine or in your day-to-day life that just help you feel that fulfilled and, you know, avoid burnout ideally.
Yeah, I feel like this is the best time to have this conversation, because had you asked me a couple of months ago, I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not working in balance. I definitely feel burned out. But I think that happens. And I think when you feel that, you do what you can internally to let yourself know it's okay to let a few things go or let a few things not run at 100% or not even run at 80%, right? So right now, I guess like what I've been working on is my relationship with social media, I think has really changed. Content was like a pretty big part of my life and I still feel like it is, but when you are running a business or, and I don't know how like the Grace Beverleys of the world do it where they are running multi-million dollar businesses and making content, like
it's probably a team of people. It's a team of people, you know? Yeah.
I love those people. I'm so inspired by them, but I also had to forgive myself for not being them or not being perfect or not coming off perfect and not being able to maintain and juggle all of those three spheres of my life all at the same time. And I think that is definitely the biggest shift here, because I've let kind of social media go the last 6 months of just unplugging, not really posting, but more importantly, not guilt tripping myself and putting pressure on myself to create from an empty cup. My cup was just so empty because I was doing so much. And when I look back, I did end the year very well. Like most people would consider it a success. And I feel proud of myself, but I know that this season is the time to do less, to do, or sorry, the time to do less, to do more. Yes. So that's like what I'm practicing right now in this like little break from social media. So the way that I'm balancing is doing less, because I had to survive as a person and to spend a little bit more time with me and like in my life and being present and taking care of myself physically, and also maybe gaining back some trust and confidence by just putting my effort into one thing and getting the rewards of doing that really well, right? Like mm-hmm. when you are multi-talented and have multi-interests, which I believe is like 90% of people right now, especially yeah. when we have access to so much, it's really hard to choose one thing because you have all this opportunity cost. You're consuming all this content of people being amazing and doing mm-hmm. all these things mm-hmm. and all this opportunity. So you're like, oh, I should do that. No, I should do that. And it's really hard to find your sense of what is it that I like? What is it that actually means something to me? What are my values?
Right.
Because we're inflooded with so much information. So I don't even know if I answered the question.
No, that was wonderful.
Kind of where I'm at mentally right now amongst my three spheres.
Yeah. And I love that answer. Again, resonate with it 100%. And I feel like through social media, they're always talking about like, oh, just build stronger systems, build stronger discipline, build this, build that, and then you can do it all. But it's just like, okay, to an extent, you're exactly right. You need to just do less to do more. You need to do less to really get in tune with yourself to understand, like, why are you choosing to do the things you do every day? Does they actually resonate with you? Or are you just sort of somewhat subconsciously pressured by society or followers or audience or family or friends to do these certain things? And you just can't recognize that in yourself if you don't give yourself that space away. And so I think I love that you said that, because that's something I feel like I've been working to understand about myself as well. Like, why has it been so hard for me to let things go sometimes? We have so many interests and so many creative endeavors we want to embark on, but at one point you kind of do have to pick and choose and be intentional. Because if you spread yourself way too thin, like you said, that's what brings burnout. And, you know, we want to avoid that and try to just remain as happy and at peace within our body, you know, a calm nervous system, and, you know, getting to like the physical effects of just filling up your life too much to the point that you can't really be present in any part of it. And I've definitely been there as well myself. So doing less to do more is so, I love that.
Yeah, you said that so perfectly as well. I feel like, do you think that we like people individually think that we won't come off as interesting if we're only doing like one thing? Because why do we feel this pressure to do everything all at the same time? Like, it's like we can also do all the things, obviously, but not all at the same time. But mm-hmm. why are so many of us in this kind of cycle? I don't understand yeah. it. I think maybe I am someone that might think, well, what if I'm not doing this many things? Will I be interesting, or will I be mm-hmm. successful? Will I be able to accomplish these things if I'm being steady with it? But yeah, it's yeah. a very interesting thing. And it's not surprising that we all feel that way. We just maybe talk about it at different times. We don't feel like we're all in it together, but it's
right.
It's a very strong trend across everyone. There's also this book that's called 10X is Easier Than 1X. And it's about this idea that there's this kind of method, or I guess, I don't even know how to describe it, but basically 80% of your success really comes from like 20% of your work. Have you heard that?
I have heard that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so
because that's the part that you're really tuned in with and yes. resonate with. Yeah.
Yes. And so this book kind of emphasizes that, where if you want to like 10X your life or 10X a business, let's say you're making 100K a year and you really want to 10X that, there's usually only one path. But we try to do many paths, like put our eggs in different baskets, when really it's, you should put all your eggs in maybe one or two baskets, because there should only be one or two things that drastically change your life. If you're mm-hmm. spread out thin, like, you're probably not going to accomplish that kind of like next upgrade. It doesn't have to be financially, but Yeah, that just like came to mind as we were talking about spreading ourselves so thin when really it's like maybe when you can just take time to like think about things, you'll actually know what you should be putting your time in.
Yeah, no, I had another thought that came up off of that. I went to a International Women's Day event last weekend, and there was a founder. I forget what company she founded, but she talked about the exact same thing. Her name's Aurora James, and someone asked her, like, how did you reach the success, the level of success that you have today? She's like, I honed in on what I know and what I'm passionate about, but she just recognized in herself she's not going to be able to grow and scale and reach the amount of people that she wanted with her message and her mission if she spread herself like too thin trying to be someone of knowledge of all things, 'cause you just can't, you know?
So you can't. It's endless. This
Yeah.
is information. Like I said, I was meant to have this conversation.
Yeah.
This is good. I'm really taking this all in.
Oh, for sure, me too. And I think you mentioned as well in your answer before, you wanted to show up kind of quote unquote perfectly, feeling like you checked all the boxes and feeling like you did everything that you wanted. But how has the process been for you in showing up imperfectly in maybe the last 6 months? And what does that mean to you?
That's a great question. In a way, the way that I have shown up imperfectly has felt like I'm making more progress. Like it feels more substantial to me. I think the ways that I have allowed myself to, because I think a lot of this begins with giving yourself permission to do certain things, has been either saying no to myself. Like, okay, if I put on a goal, it's like, okay, well, then you have to knock out one of these other, eight goals, right? Like you can't, like everything can't have a seat at the table. But I think also reminding myself, like even just going to the gym, even if you just go and you just like want to walk today, or if you just want to go stretch today, I just want you to build the habit of leaving the apartment first and foremost, and two, going and just moving your body. It doesn't have to be something that's going to contribute to like an aesthetic goal. It doesn't have to be hitting all your metrics for like a progressive overload program if you were like, trying to build your glutes or whatever it is, right? Like not everything needs an end goal. And so I think just reminding myself to participate at the level I could participate that day and just seeing how that plays out. So I think that there's kind of like this thing that comes up in life where it's like, should I go? I'm using the gym for an example, but it's just an easier one. Like, should I go to the gym? And it's like, like maybe not. I've been kind of saying like, maybe yes. Let's just see what that looks like so I can actually try things on in this different kind of stage of my life. A lot of times when you're trying to become a different person, bring on a different identity, kind of shift into a new energy, you have to try that on, like
Yeah.
going into the dressing room. And so that's kind of where I've been the last couple of months of like, well, maybe yes, let's try this today and just see what comes of it without expectations that I need to do a 2-hour deep work session or that I need to finish this script or that something needs to be produced.
Yeah.
And I produced a lot more, I actually think, by that. And I actually, again, coming back to relationships, my relationship with myself feels so much more stronger. And I feel like I actually understand myself and my cues because I've seen myself go at different levels versus just trying to go at 100%. I didn't know my 80% self. I didn't know my 70% self or my 60% self. And now that I know those different identities within myself, I actually know what I can give each day and I actually know what's reasonable for me. And so there's a lot less guilt and disappointment and frustration because I've been able to live more honestly, I think, with myself, if that makes
Yeah, totally makes sense. And I think you said that so beautifully. I definitely
sense.
am taking away a lot from that because I think that's something I've been really, really working on the last year. Like moving to New York, I feel like it was just thrown in my face that I live by like black and white mindsets. And I've sort of known this about myself, but it really just like came to the surface. And I realized like I just couldn't do anything unless I either finished it or did it all the way that I wanted to when I set out to do it. And I just realized like most of the time I wouldn't do it. I would either be so overwhelmed because I had blown it up to these huge expectations that I wouldn't even
Yes.
know how to start, or
Yes.
I would start and then the expectation would be so high that I maybe didn't have enough time to get it to that point, or I didn't have enough energy to get it to that point, so I'd just like give up altogether.
Yes.
And I feel like that's something that so many people in their 20s and figuring out what career paths they want to take, creative paths they want to take. Like it's of course you want to go in knowing how something's going to pan out, but you just can't sometimes, and expecting yourself to show up every time in the exact same way is also just so unrealistic. You know, we have, as women, we have cycles and we feel differently every week of the month. And
real phase, goodbye. Like,
yeah, no, I'm just like, can't do anything.
I feel like I also resonate so deeply with that, honestly. Even just I don't think a lot of people talk about this about New York, but there's such a contagious energy of like wanting to get things done and put yourself out there, but it can be really overwhelming, I think, as well. Just like literally even being in the hustle and bustle of the city, and the way that you've like approached projects and stuff before in the past of like blowing it up too big, that it's like, oh, paralysis analysis, I can't even start, or starting and maybe even expanding the scope of the project as you go.
Oh, you're
like,
yeah.
I'm going to finish this because now I know exactly what I would want it to be if it was perfect. But now that's like levels down the line that I'm not there yet. So I just, yeah, I'm like, the human experience is like unique and not unique all at the same time. Because what you just said, I was like, oh my gosh, are we the same person? Or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of our brains work the same, which, like you said, so many other people do. But I also know that there are so many people that don't think this way. They find one thing that they love, they find fulfillment and purpose in that, and that's what they do. And I'm like, wow. But you know, I can't judge, and I can't know what other stressors are things that they're worried about and working on. It's just kind of, I know my perspective from a brain that wants to do a million things at once at the highest capacity all the time. And it's just sort of learning to reel ourselves back is what we're working on, whereas someone else is maybe working to push themselves forward more and move more.
That
so
is true.
Yeah. But that's, I definitely feel like New York, a high percentage of people are hustlers and moving and doing things, achieving things, launching things all the time. And so I'm curious as well. Do you feel like that has just shifting your environment, like moving out of the city, has that helped, you feel like, in being able to slow down and reel back a little bit?
Absolutely. So for those who don't know, I used to live in New York, which is how I met Jenny, and I moved to Dallas, and there's kind of like a little joke about like the South moves pretty slow. And Dallas is like, I wouldn't even really, it is the South, but it's, you know, it's kind of liberal. It's a city. There's some, a little hustle and bustle, but I feel so much like, I know this is a podcast, but I'm like making this motion with my hands of like, my shoulders have relaxed, if that makes sense. Like, I just feel like I have space to breathe, and I literally have more space here, you know, and things move a little bit slower, and, you know, I get more light from my windows. I feel like I'm photosynthesized. Your environment to me is everything. When I lived in New York, I had, in my opinion, such a beautiful apartment, but
oh, you did. I went and I was in awe. It was beautiful.
When I first moved to New York, it was like a little out of my budget. In fact, I felt like it actually was out of my budget the whole time, because the second year our rent increased, but it was worth me putting my money there because I felt like my environment directly reflected what I was able to do. And I don't think you should blame your environment or your circumstances and be like, I can't do anything because of my environment. I think it's a little bit of like a, you know, a balancing act, but at least for me, I feel so different and more expansive here. Mainly probably because I'm not stuck in a box. I was working remotely in New York, and so I was really actually stuck in my home and tied to my computer a lot of the hours of the day. But two, I think I probably compare myself a little bit less to people as well. And again, that's on me and not my environment. So I think it also came with a sense of timing as well, but it helps.
That's good to hear. Yeah, I've been feeling that a little bit, not to the point that I want to move out of New York City just yet, but I will be spending a couple months in Europe this summer. So probably a month in London and a month in Paris. That's what I'm thinking as of right now. Yeah, I got a sublet. Someone is, my friend's doing an internship, and I was like, well, would you want to take mine? So, yeah.
That sounds like decadent. The one thing I think that all women in their 20s need is a couple of months elsewhere. You need to get out of your life and just go get some perspective. I'm not waiting until I'm 50 to have an eat, pray, love moment. I need to get that in my system now. And it doesn't necessarily mean going to Europe, even though I think everyone should have that experience. Like, that sounds so beautiful. But like getting a chunk of time outside of yourself is like the only way to kind of get back inside of yourself without all the noise. So, oh, I'm so excited for you. That's going to be
Thanks.
incredible. I know also I'm going to be able to like see this on social media. I'm not putting any pressure on you to create work more, but I'm just excited to kind of see where that takes you. That's
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I'm excited too, at least for the content side. I will still be working like weird hours just 'cause
yeah.
all the time difference, but I just feel like, yeah, when I shift out of my routine, I'm also noticed that I'm way more creatively inspired, like content-wise. And I just feel like I have new ideas. Like you said, I'm in a new environment. I'm around different types of people, different energy. And it really just helps, shift your perspective. I always recommend this to people too. I feel like in recent years I've been trying to have at least one trip or one shake up of my routine at least every year, because that I know myself, I get very stuck and I won't be able to see the bigger picture if I stay too much in my own bubble. So yeah, shifting that has been really, really helping. So I'm excited. Thank you.
I will say just a last thing on that is I have a lot of friends that work kind of like in the more artistic industry. They do music or they're performers or things like that I spent some time with in LA before I moved to New York. And one thing was they are constantly putting them in putting themselves in positions, I can speak, putting them in positions to consume beautiful things for themselves that are like energizing, not just consuming things on social media, but their spaces are beautiful. The people that they are hanging out with are pouring into them. They're traveling. They're even just renting out Airbnbs to spend a few days in because you can't be creative if you don't have like a full cup or inspiration. It's a cyclical thing. So I'm very excited for you. I'm like living vicariously through this update that I've gotten. I'm like, yes, this is great. Maybe I need that.
But it's really good to hear that the shift to Dallas has been energizing for you and been filling your
Amazing.
cup.
The
That's really, really
taxes are
wonderful.
amazing. The
Oh
apartment's
yeah.
amazing. The light, everyone's nice. I could not say like better things about Dallas, even if people just want to come visit. I'll
I
host
would
you. I
love
have
to.
guest rooms.
Well, I guess moving on from that, sort of on topic, but I'd love to ask you more about making friends in our 20s. I feel like I get a lot of questions on my accounts from my audience about how I've been navigating making friends in New York City. And I guess I moved just over a year ago and I knew maybe two people. And so, I've been navigating making friends, going to events, showing up places alone, and leaving with, a new friend's number to go get coffee with. And it's definitely not an easy and simple thing to do, but it definitely is so possible. And I feel like for me, it's just like, it's kind of been like a hamster wheel that, like, the more you do it, the easier it gets and the more it becomes a flow. But that start is very overwhelming. And so I'd love to hear how you've navigated that, as well as living in different cities throughout your 20s.
I think especially with New York, people normally know people already when they move there. Maybe not everyone, but I think people have friends that they bring from school, and so it can feel interesting trying to get into like a friend group because sometimes they're already kind of like formed in a weird way. I have found social media to be so helpful. I actually, the best roommate I've ever had post grad was my roommate Nicole, who I lived with before I moved in with my boyfriend. And I literally sent out a PSA on TikTok and I said, "Hey guys, this is my apartment. I need someone to live with me. Like, I'm a cool person. You can scroll on my thing. I swear I'm nice and normal. I just, I'm tossing a wide net." And I got to meet so many people just through that, or even getting a chance to meet you through Morning Club and other kind of communities that I have online. I also find that complimenting loudly kind of leads you to friends. So if I'm at the bookstore and I see someone just looking incredible or just has great energy, I will say something. I will hardly skip an opportunity to compliment someone because, one, I feel like there are so many opportunities to say something. And I do feel like it costs nothing to be kind. You want to be authentic, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I found that because I am more like that's how kind of how I sway as a person, I've been able to kind of like chat to people or where did you get that outfit from? Oh, wow. Like, can you send me the link? Or just like things like that I have found have really kind of contributed to friendships. Obviously, if you can get, you know, connected to a studio or going to a coffee shop that you go to often, you might run into someone and kind of have a meet cute, as they say, of a friendship. But I also feel like that is kind of rare. So I don't want to like just say like, yeah, just put yourself out there and you'll have like an amazing friend group. Like, I think sometimes it takes time and, you know, certain circumstance or things like that. But if you can find set groups of people with maybe similar likes, or if you are actually authentically following someone online and you really love their story or journey and having conversations with them organically until you might have built an actual authentic relationship. To me, that has always been the easiest of meeting new people. Because if I'm realistic, I have had friends from college and other communities that have followed me throughout life. So I feel lucky in that way. And I don't want to like lie and say like, it, you know, it's easy because it's mm-hmm. not. But yeah. I do think with time, especially if you're building, like, you know, you're pretending like you're a sim and you're spending time doing activities that you love and you're becoming this version of yourself that you love, I do think eventually the universe is going to reward you with the opportunity to meet friends that complement that. But
yeah,
it's easier said than done to be patient, but you don't want to be friends with everyone anyways. Mm-hmm. You want to look for those people that we call it top shelf in my friend group, which means you have to reach on your tippy toes in order to, you know, to be at their level. You want friends that feel top shelf. You want to have friends that you speak so highly of, and you're disappointed that you don't have enough time to speak to all of your friends because they are so incredible. So I think just with time and with a strong sense of self, your tribe kind of comes.
It forms. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's probably not like an answer you can fully follow like step by step, but I think having a kind, gentle like energy and making sure you're really eroding and erasing any sentiment of comparison, I think opens you up to so many more people. That's at least how I felt.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with all of that. And I think as far as like tangible first steps, like reaching out to people, even just through social media, I too have done that so much. And I feel like that's how I met so many of the people that I know now. And maybe not all of them are now super, super close friends to me, but maybe I've met someone who mutually we both knew the same person. And now I'm closer friends with them. And then I meet their friend. And the web just like expands kind of exponentially. As you start to kind of, it does start slow though. And I feel like that's, I know that I was getting discouraged for a while. I was like, why am I not meeting like people that I really resonate with? Like you said, top shelf friends.
Yeah.
But over time and with patience and just kind of getting to know myself as well better, I feel like has enabled me to make better friends.
Great people keep great people, you know? So it only takes one. If you find one great person, you'll meet their community. And then, you know, from there, you meet the communities of all of those friends. So mutual friends, chef's kiss, because they're already headed by the amazing person you've met. Obviously, you don't want to just try and steal, you know, people's friends or just
one
person and just hang out with their friend group and never talk to them again. That's not what we're talking about. But it's like, it only takes kind of one. And honestly, one great friend is so much better than like a girl group of 10 people. You know what I mean? So,
that you don't really feel like you can like be yourself with.
Yeah. You want to be authentic. You don't want to feel like you have to try. Having to try feels so, it's so exhausting being someone besides yourself. Yeah. Even when you're looking for yourself, it's not going to be perfect, right? Like if you don't know yourself, how do you know if you're being authentic? But it should feel easy. It should feel relaxed, and like safe. Yeah,
definitely. Going out places alone as well, I feel like has been really helpful for me. Of course, that's so much easier said than done. But I feel like, I guess being in the content creator space in New York City, I'm so grateful that I get to be invited to certain events, and I challenge myself to go alone when I have the chance. And I kind of go a little bit nervous. Like last night with the yoga class, I didn't know anyone going, and I was like, I'm just going to go open-minded, talk to people, you know, ask them their names, compliment them. I love that tip as well for making friends. Just literally just asking their name, just start the conversation. Cause you know, whether they start it or you start it, like somebody has to speak first. Otherwise it will, you know, there will be nothing there. It won't go anywhere. Exactly.
And people are going by themselves too. So
exactly. Yeah. And so I feel like just putting yourself out there to like maybe sit at a cafe alone and see who sits next to you. Like you said, maybe compliment them or go to an event alone. Go to, if you like going to bars alone, sit and read a book or something, and just sort of put yourself in environments where there's other people, that there could be potential new connections, new conversations.
I also feel like, you know, especially in cities like New York, or even wherever you are, going somewhere and just being around people can also just be comforting in and of itself. You can almost like get your social battery refilled just by sharing space. And I know there's not a ton of third space in New York, or and even in other cities, it's probably lacking. But I do think that's super important. And going out by yourself and developing that relationship with yourself too is so good. I might need to incorporate some more solo date nights and things like that with myself. That's a good reminder.
Yeah, I know. And but I feel like me too as well. I feel like they've declined a little bit. I was doing so much solo stuff, solo dates this time last year. But now that I've started making friends, I'm like, well, I might as well do this with this person. But, you know, equally, both are so beautiful and it's such wonderful times to spend with yourself and spend with other people. So neither one is better than the other. But I definitely think while you feel your friendships are maybe growing and your circles are expanding and your maybe connections are feeling deeper, it's still important to not forget about your own relationship and your own friendship with yourself.
Retweet, like, subscribe. I agree with that.
Well, my next question for you is about like habits and your routine and how you kind of help yourself feel your best and self-care. I talk a lot about that on this podcast, how I'm working to implement self-care. And I know we talked about it earlier in the episode as well together. But what is a habit or a part of your own routine that you have currently that helps you feel your best or has helped you navigate like busier seasons of life?
This is a great question. I'm actually going to my notes because I have a thing called Cammie's Depression Kit, which is when I'm really down. I mean, this is my toolkit that I go back to kind of like make myself feel good. If it's like a day to day and I'm busy, the best thing I can do for myself, and I know this sounds cliche, the best thing I can do is meditate for 10 minutes. Just follow a meditation on YouTube. I never want to do it. I never want to do it. I never feel like I have enough time. But I feel genuinely healed afterwards. So if you get one thing from this, try that, honestly. And I know that people say that all the time. It's like drinking water, but it helps me every single time. And I actually don't know why I fight it. But so far on my depression kit made on February 6th, 2025, is clean my space to some degree. I'll take a nice long shower until my thoughts have stopped racing. So I will do an everything shower and I will stay and I will just let the hot water hit me until I have genuinely calmed my brain down a little bit, because that's usually why I'm overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I will change into cute clothes, whether that is a nice, it's usually a lounge set, but this is what I will do. I will write out 10 things I am grateful for, which normally really does make me feel better and gives me perspective. And then I will order something to eat. I will not make myself necessarily have to cook a good meal. I don't want to put pressure on myself. I order something that I know is going to be nourishing. It doesn't even have to be healthy, but just something I love. And then I will probably read a good book, because that takes me out of my life. So even if it's something I've read before, but I'm like, oh, the scene was so cute, or it was like a romance novel or whatever, I will go and I will read that. So that's like a pretty extensive, but if I need a full life reset, then I will go to what I call my kit or my toolkit, because I know those things work for me and I don't always want to do them. But the best thing you can do is go back to the basics, because the basics work, even if they're basic. So yeah, those are like my survival kits when I'm super overwhelmed, because I usually haven't done any of those things if I'm super overwhelmed, because I've made it up in my mind that I don't have time for
Yeah.
those support things. Yeah.
I relate to that so much. Even with the meditation, I feel like start of the new year, I was like on my meditation
Yes.
routine, and it's definitely been slipping the last few weeks. But I love that list, and I feel like it reminds me of that trend that was going around of like the dopamine menu.
Yes.
And so it
That's
sounds pretty
exactly.
similar, like just a way
That's a
to sort
much
of.
better name for it.
No, I love Cammy's Depression Kit. That's so cute.
I was like in the dumps when I made this, but
Oh,
I
yeah.
decided to take care of myself one night and actually document what I did. And when I finished and I felt so much better, I was like, I have to just have this in my back pocket. I don't want to have to
Right.
wonder when I'm already down in the dumps. I just want to go to a list that is low lift for me and feels good. So.
Yeah, no, I love that. I honestly will probably make my own little kit list. I have my dopamine menu, but it feels like it was kind of just like a full list of all the things that make
Yeah.
me feel good, and it's just like, well, I can't do all of those things in one
Yeah.
day. You know, like you said, it's kind of unrealistic to think you can spend like a whole weekend like
Yeah.
resetting. You know, life still does have to happen and continue.
Exactly.
But I wanted to ask you as well, off of that, how do you kind of combat those thoughts of like, oh, well, I don't have time for this. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. Like, what is the point of you're able to sort of get around that and be like, well, no, I'm actually going to put other things on pause right now because I need to take care of myself.
Yeah, I think when I get overwhelmed, I really almost always go into a state of paralysis analysis, but I don't do positive things for myself and I don't do negative things, or things that'll like stress me out, right? It's really just the state of like numb. I'll get into this state of paralysis analysis and then I normally just think to myself, if I were to be very sick right now, where I would need to, go to the hospital or something, none of this really matters. So I will normally just be like, if you were sick right now, what would your friends, your family, your coworkers tell you to take off your plate? It would probably be like everything. So it's normally that, and then I will probably go to some of these like self-care things that I have to do. But just the perspective of none of this really matters unless you are like healthy and unless you actually have time to spend with yourself, your loved ones, your family, and in pursuit of your goals. And if you are not healthy, and that means if you're overwhelmed, you're stressed, you are have a ne negative self-image, negative self-concept, that is a sign of not being healthy, right? And you can always improve those metrics. But yeah, it's kind of this idea that like nothing else matters if I am this overwhelmed. I am too young to be this overwhelmed. I am not working on anything that is life or death. I am, thank goodness, not a heart surgeon. So I don't have to put so much pressure on myself. And it's normally myself. So I have to kind of take that time to get realigned with myself and maybe even, think of myself as someone younger, just like, you need to go and take care of yourself, really, truly, right? And so it's normally easy for me to get to that point because I've normally driven myself to a point in which it's like, okay, this is ridiculous, right? So it's just that line of if I were sick, truly sick, what would my friends and family and coworkers expect of me? They would not say, oh, but can you get this email out? Oh, but you said you were going to post on Friday. Oh, none of that matters. You need food, water, shelter, and some self love probably at that point. So, yeah.
I love that. It just goes to the point of like kind of validating your mental wellness as well as your physical wellness,
So
because
important.
I mean, like I was sick with the flu in January and I just literally laid on the couch for 3 days. And when I
For
think
three
about if
full
I'm
days.
anxious, do I lay on the couch for 3 days? No, I usually don't, but that might be what I need sometimes. But it's just because I'm only in my like, you know, my physical body feels fine. I can walk around, I can go outside, and I'm able to do these things, but mentally I'm just not there. But we don't really treat it the same way. So that's definitely something I'm working on too.
And there's times where the answer is stop and pretend like you have the flu, right? Take time and really stop. And then there's times where Alicia Gogan on YouTube had this in a podcast, and I DM her all the time when this comes up for me because it's like the best thing ever, but it's the only way out is through. So sometimes when you are so overwhelmed with everything, the answer is the only way out is through. And how do you get through? You tackle one thing at a time, and it's not everything, and you won't get it all done and yada, yada, yada. It is one thing at a time. What can I focus on and attack calmly? It's just right. calming and slowing myself down. It just matters on how much I'm slowing myself down, but it's normally one of those two things.
Yeah. Yeah. Breaking it down to one step at a time is something I too remind myself.
It's all you can do. It's like, yeah. why do we do this to ourselves? We know that it's only one thing at a time. Yeah. Really, truly.
Well, so. The whole habit stacking trend, like, sure, I get that as like a productivity hack, but like, if you're already overwhelmed and you're trying to like listen to a podcast and do your work and walk on your walking pad and all of these, like, your brain is just going to go into overload so quickly. And I'm not saying to never do those things, but just recognizing when you need to break it down to one thing at a time is so, so important.
I agree. And also, if you're like overwhelmed, maybe stop consuming stuff. Like literally, you have too many inputs. Listening to a podcast can actually throw me off way more than just being in silence or talking to a friend. Because talking to a friend, yes, you get inputs, but you're expelling energy. If I'm just consuming all day long, I feel horrible. I feel horrible. I feel like I should also do something with that knowledge, because if I just consume every day and I don't do anything, I don't maintain it. I'm just this vessel of getting things in, and it feels like you have this buildup of, have you ever had like an idea that you need to get out and so it agitates you, but you don't know how to maybe express it or create the content to contain it?
Yes,
it's like that. It's like that. You just feel irritated. It's like when it's like eating and not having any way for that to leave your body. It's like your stomach is going to get bloated and everything. It's like that for your brain.
Yeah, definitely. And the only way to kind of alleviate that is to just be with yourself and sit with the silence. And exactly. I mean, speaking on podcasts specifically, I sometimes love just having a podcast on just for fun, for some background noise, entertainment. If it's someone just like yapping about their life, and I'm like, I'm just listening because I'm curious how another human being is experiencing their days. I'm not like learning anything. I'm not trying to better myself. But sometimes I do enjoy learning something from someone who's maybe worked in an industry for years and they have some knowledge to share. But I know that feeling as well when I've listen to a little bit too much of that. I'm like, okay, wait, I haven't actually thought about like myself and how I feel for a long time. Let's just tune it out and get back in touch with myself. And you know, you can only do that if you break things down into one step at a time.
Yeah. Also, like, there are things that exist like comfort creators and comfort content in which it's not irritating. So as long as you have that distinction. I was telling Jenny, and like, she's one of my favorite comfort creators. Thanks. Your content doesn't agitate me, but again, my agitation over anyone's content is a reflection of me. It's not necessarily a reflection of them. You just have to be honest with yourself and how that affects you. But I was saying, I love your content, and I was also telling her I love her podcast voice. It's comforting to me. That's a whole different story than having someone saying, here's 10 essential things you need to do to make passive income on the side. So maybe that's not something you need when you're so stressed out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's just recognizing that we do live in a world of so much content and so much information at our fingertips. It's just like recognizing what you need and what type is going to work for you at each point and each stage of your life. And that just comes from, you know, sort of listening to yourself and really slowing down and not trying to keep up with everything you're seeing around you, just tuning into yourself. Easier said than done, of course. But I feel like I just have to remind myself. Well, thank you again so much for this conversation and for being willing to come on the podcast. Is there anywhere that people can find you if you want to share Instagram handle or anything like that?
I think I am Well by Cami everywhere. So I'm that on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Maybe you'll see me on YouTube soon.
I hope so. I have been really enjoying YouTube. That'll be fun to see you there.
Thank you
All
so
right.
much for having me. This was lovely. Best podcast interview ever, seriously.
Oh, wait, that's so wonderful to hear. Of course, you're welcome back anytime. And so thank you again, Cami. And with that, we'll catch you all in the next episode.